Whatever happened to Our Gal Sunday?
Well, I'm right here. My name is Vivian Smolin. I live in New York. I'm very happily married. And I do some television commercials.
My name is Richard Lamparsky, and this program is a remote, as most of my programs are, but it's a remote still from Manhattan. We are not in Silver Creek, Colorado, nor are we in England. But my guest today is associated with both places because her name is Vivian Smolin, and she was known for a number of years on network radio as Our Gal Sunday. Miss Smolin, how do you do?
How do you do?
Do you mind if I refer to you as Sunday throughout the program?
Not at all. Many people have for many years. However, in the past few years, though, it seems to be going further and further away.
Really? Because you're one of the outstanding programs that's remembered from daytime.
Well, as people get older, as I get older, and so many seem to be younger than they ever were, I am quite surprised that as many young people will have heard of the program.
Well, I discussed that with Ma Perkins, Junior Payne, and she said she felt the reason for that was that a great many very young people, where they perhaps didn't really listen to your program or to hers, were home at lunch.
Right.
Well, I'll see if I remember where you were on the dial. I think it was CBS. Is that right?
Yes.
And as I recall, and I'm going by my lunch hour because I was one who listened, was first Kate Smith with the news and Ted Collins. That was at noon on CBS. It's high noon in New York, and this is Kate Smith. And that was followed by Aunt Jenny, who always had a lot of dirt about people in that little town she lived in. And that was followed by Helen Trent, the romance of, and you followed Helen Trent. Is that correct?
Yes, we followed Helen Trent, and Perkins came after us.
I was back in school by the time Ma was on.
Yes.
So I didn't hear her.
Yes. You know, not only children will remember because of the lunchtime, but a lot of adults at the time and people who ordinarily worked at that time will say, oh, I never listened to things like that, and so forth. But then they'll say, and how is Henry, and what happened such and such and such and such, and then you realize they must have heard the show at some time or other. And they heard it either in a car, if they were driving at that time, or very often when they were ill, if they had a cold or something like that. Then they listened to the radio. And for people who said that they didn't listen to things like that, they knew an awful lot about the show.
Do you cringe when you hear Red River Valley? Are you tired of that?
No.
That was the love.
No, it was fun. I enjoyed those years very much.
How many years were there on Our Gal Sunday?
On Our Gal, there were about 13. And they were very wonderful years. Work-wise, they were fun. We had a very wonderful relationship amongst the actors and director. And it was not like going to a job. First of all, we only worked an hour and a quarter. We had an hour rehearsal and 15 minutes show. And of the hour, we rehearsed about half of that time. And the other half of the hour was spent talking. And we had very good times talking. It was a lot of fun.
It sounds like a lot of fun. Everyone, though, I know who has worked on radio during those days, they're just, you know, they get misty-eyed when they talk about it.
Well, it was easy. And the fact that you worked such a short time and you got a lovely check at the end of the week And you were able to do almost anything else that you wanted during the day. Of course, many of the actors worked other shows.
Did you moonlight?
Yes. I did Lolly Baby on Stella Dallas.
Did you really?
Yes, I did that.
I didn't know that.
Yes, I did that for, many more years than I did Our Gal.
Is it true that Stella Dallas has a restaurant someplace on Long Island?
No, it's in Jersey.
In Jersey? Mm-hmm. Oh, I wonder
it's
if
it's in.
Would come in. I'd love to do a program with
Bucks
her.
County.
Bucks County.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we must find her. Would
yes.
you do a guest shot on that program?
Oh, sure. Sure. Oh, and Anne would go, Lolly Baby. I remember one day I was walking along Fifth Avenue, and this voice, deep voice, came from the other end of the street, and I heard, Lolly Baby, and I almost died, because it was Anne calling me.
What a cow.
And she never called me by my name. She always called me Lolly Baby, and no matter where she saw me, it was always, there's my Lolly Baby, and oh, I was so embarrassed.
I think we should explain a little about the plot of your program and character for those who either don't remember or will not admit they remember, or actually were too young to have heard it. You were from the town of Silver Creek, Colorado?
Yes.
Is that right?
An orphan girl left on the doorstep of two old miners.
Did they find you on Sunday? Was that the reason your name was Sunday? Because I remember asking my aunt, and she said, I said, why is the lady's name Sunday? That's a funny name. And she said, because they found her on Sunday.
Well, I'm sure your aunt must be right. Do you know that this show was based on a play called Sunday, in which Ethel Barrymore starred?
No, I didn't know that.
Yep.
I'm sure that's not generally known.
I don't think so.
Is it a very old play?
Very old, and I think Lionel was in it, too.
My goodness.
Hmm.
Well, that's a very interesting...
Yeah. And... I don't know if John was in it, but I know Lionel was in it. Well, anyway, the story, that was the basic plot. And this young orphan girl grew into womanhood and married England's richest, most handsome lord, Lord Henry Brinthrop.
Of Black Swan Hall.
Black Swan Hall was Virginia.
Oh, but didn't they always say Lord Henry Brinthrop of Black Swan
no.
Hall?
No. And they lived in Virginia, in Black Swan Hall was the name of the estate.
No, what I meant was when they announced Our Gal Sunday, I thought
so.
They always said Lord Henry Brinthrop of Black Swan Hall. Well,
I don't know.
That's where you lived,
I don't
anyway.
Think so. I'm not sure, though.
And then you had all that trouble with those English relatives.
Oh, we had constant trouble because this is how these shows existed. If we just went along like a normal family, I don't think we would have had any listeners.
My dear, I've never met a normal family. I don't think you had any more trouble in Black Hall.
Oh, yes. You just we just went from blindness to murders and kidnappings and one thing after another. Everything was very terrible. And even things like substitute husband, suddenly the authors would think up a twin brother of Henry's. I mean, you know, we'd never heard of a twin brother, but one day a twin brother would appear. Or a cousin that looked exactly like Henry, and then they kidnapped Henry and they spirited him away and put him in a closet someplace. And this other man came in, but Sunday always knew that it wasn't her husband. Nobody else knew, but Sunday felt it.
Well, I remember another traumatic experience in your married life. It was just once, and my grandmother told me about it. She was so upset. Henry became interested in another woman.
Oh, yes.
That was only once, though.
Well, no, I'm sure it was more than once. You see, there were just so many plots.
But he was not a chaser.
Oh, no.
And you were true blue.
Well, I was always true blue, no matter what. I never could become interested in any other man, because the name of the show is Our Gal Sunday, and the leads or the heroines never did anything like that.
I must say you were awfully sweet, you know.
Yes.
You really
I know.
Were. You got kind of gooey. There were times both my aunt and my grandmother would get very impatient with you.
It was just a little too much.
My grandma said she takes too damn much, you know. If she'd turn around and tell those people off, they'd get leave her alone.
I know.
You know how I thought of you? Probably you know this, that when people listen to the radio in those days, characters, you always pictured the person you were
mm-hmm.
listening to. You were, in my mind, Melanie in Gone with the Wind.
Oh.
You know, Olivia.
Yeah, well, she was always having the vapors, wasn't she?
Yes, but I think they had a similar personality. And then, of course, she was married to Leslie Howard in the picture.
Yes.
So I always thought of you together, and I always thought of Olivia de Havilland.
You know, you're not the only one who said that Henry reminded, you know, the thought you that you thought of Henry.
Oh, he definitely
as
was.
Leslie Howard.
Hmm.
Many people have said that.
Well, he had an English accent, and he owns,
yes.
it was in the South.
Yes.
And, you know, the whole thing gelled. Yes. That was the only association I had with English lords living in the South.
Well, Carl Swinson, who played Henry for many, many years and is a wonderful, funny man.
Yes, what became of
he
him?
He went to live in California about 3 or 4 years before the show went off the air. And he does a lot of movies and television things now. And Carl is blonde and wasn't as thin as Leslie Howard, but is a very handsome blonde man.
Is he acting in Australia?
Yes.
Australia?
No. That's Alastair Duncan. Alastair played Henry the last part, the last 3 or 4 years of the show being on the air.
Mm.
And, see, Carl Swenson went to California, and they had an audition for a new Henry. And they chose a real Englishman. Carl wasn't. Carl was an American. They chose Alastair Duncan, who was English, and who had a real English accent. And just before the show went off the air, Alastair felt that he would seek his fortune in Australia. And he left the show just a couple of months before it went off the air and went to live in Australia, in Sydney.
And he's there still?
Mm-hmm.
Is he an actor?
Yes, he's an actor and he's going into production. In Australia, well, at least 2 years ago, they were still doing a lot of radio, much more than they do here.
Well, they do much more radio in England than they do here. My guest just a few weeks ago was Jesse Matthews,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure you remember from movies, who is now playing Mum Dale on the...
Oh, Mrs. Dale's Diary.
Mrs. Dale's Diary, which is now called Just the Dales.
Uh-huh.
They've changed it. And I think she told me that Dr. Dale had retired.
Well, that was on the air all the time that American radio was
still
on.
Still is.
Yes.
It still is.
And
on
they
the
still
BBC.
Have it. Well, in Australia, they still have a lot of radio, but it's television is encroaching fast.
You told me that there were a number of programs on. I didn't ask about B.B. Daniels and Ben Lyons because they
mm-hmm.
had a program for years. I should have, but there was another one called The Archers.
Mm-hmm. I remember that name, too.
And they were, I guess they were the two biggest
yes.
soap operas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they call them soap operas there. But they are still on and very popular.
Yes. Well, a short while ago, there was, they tried to revive a couple of shows here. In fact, I did about 26 weeks of Big Sister. But I don't think it's done very well. Either they can't get the stations to buy them or what. You know, the whole structure of radio has changed so in the last few years. It's all local rather than network.
It's that, and I think the whole pattern of people's lives.
Yes, and either people are not particularly interested in soaps or cereals or they want the right ones or what, I don't know.
Well, I must talk to the wrong people because they ask me an awful lot of questions
mm-hmm.
about radio people and, you know, movie people from the 30s and 40s. But Maybe not, because you said you were on for...
Well, maybe the listeners and the station owners are, you know, are of two different minds.
Perhaps. Well, it's sad because, you know, there's never been anything to replace them. I don't think these television serials do. I've watched them.
Well, I think the television serials, in many cases, are very good and some aren't. However, I don't think that there's a chance of radio coming back the way it was. I don't think maybe it should. But I think there might be room for a couple of shows.
Surely there must be.
For a little time.
For so many years.
I think some of the stations that have all music or all news would profit a little by a bit of drama.
I think perhaps the people who would appreciate the most, if you could get them to listen, would be the current young generation who do not know what they were.
Mm.
Because I've talked to them and they'll say, I discussed this too with Ma Perkins. They said, what did you do while you listened to radio? And what did you look at? And they don't understand what it was. To them, a radio is a box that plays music or tells the news and the temperature.
Mm.
And evidently it's impossible for them to understand how you could become involved. And indeed, we did become involved.
Oh, yes.
Very.
Yes, of course.
Tell me, was there a Silver Creek, Colorado?
I doubt it. I've never been in Colorado, really.
You haven't?
No.
You've been to Virginia?
No.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But I've been to England.
You have?
Yes. I've traveled quite a bit since the shows have been off the air. And
were your programs heard in the other countries?
I think for a very short time they were heard in London. But I don't know if they were heard anyplace else. I think Canada. But other than that, I really don't know.
Well, you'll be heard again in Canada because the CBC is using all of my radio personalities.
Oh, how nice.
As of, I think, this month.
Mm-hmm.
They'll begin a new program called As Time Goes By. And they are limited to radio personalities.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing bits and pieces of old radio programs, and they have purchased my interviews with radio personalities, not my movie people,
mm-hmm.
or my literary people, but all of the, so.
Oh,
say
good.
Hello to...
Good, because I used to
Canada.
Get letters from Canadian fans.
Did you get many letters who thought you Sunday was real?
Yes. That always confused me. I couldn't understand how people thought that you were a real person. And that you weren't an actor.
Yes, but they did, because I can remember discussions my grandmother having with the neighbors and with Hemmerling, and she would say, well, now why doesn't that damn fool do so-and-so? And somewhere or another during the conversation, one of them would say, well, it's not real, you know, and they both looked kind of startled.
Yes, you see, but they really knew it wasn't real. But I think that there were people who thought that they were listening to a slice of life, to someone... were in someone's home.
Yes,
and that
I'm
all
sure
this was just going on and that they were eavesdropping.
Yes.
I know children very often thought that, but it was amazed
tough.
Me when adults did.
Well, I certainly did with One Man's Family. I think that
well,
more
I think
else.
That was
it was paced
very
so.
Much unto its own.
Hmm. It was paced so that it really sounded like...
Yes. Well, that was quite different. I don't think you could almost put that in the same class with soap opera. I think it was different.
Hmm. Yeah, I was...
So it was a continuing story. It was terribly good and well-written.
I don't know. I always pictured people, and I always pictured them in costume or in the houses they lived. I suppose I knew they weren't real. It's hard to tell. I don't think I'd admit it anyway.
I think so.
I don't know how much heart you did for your program did, you know, for English and American relations, because, as I mentioned before, we always thought that your English relatives were very cruel to you.
Oh, I don't think we did any harm at all.
They were very snobbish, Henry's relatives.
Yes, weren't they?
Very. Mm.
But I think a lot of people think English people are snobbish only because they speak differently.
Do you think that's the reason? I'd never thought about it before. Perhaps.
I know when a lot of people will say, when they want to put on, when a person wants to put on, they put on an English accent, and suddenly they spoof. But they spoof being very hoity-toity and being vitty-vitty, and that's what they think is
being... Yes, I suppose so. They think an English accent is very pretentious.
Yes, I think that's what it is.
Funny, because the least pretentious people I've ever met, and they're the first person, they're the first people to put anybody down, really, who is pretentious. You know, they'll cut you right down to size.
Well, I'm very fond of London. I really don't know England, but I do know London a bit, and it's one of my favorite cities.
Most of the programs you did were live, were they not?
They were all live, except in the last couple of years for vacation time.
You must have gotten to know most of the other people who were doing the soap operas at that time, you know.
Oh, yes. Yes, it was almost a club.
You were saying a few moments ago that you travel a great deal with your husband. Would you ever have a chance to go to Australia and see Lord Henry again?
Yes. About 3 years ago, my husband had to make a trip to the Far East and Australia, and we went first to Japan, and then we went on to Hong Kong and Manila, and then into Sydney. And I knew that Alistair was living in Sydney. And so when we arrived, excuse me, I found out, after several phone calls, how to get in touch with him. But I didn't call him directly. I called his service, and they told me that he was appearing in Beyond the Fringe. So we called the theater and reserved two seats, and Harold and I trotted down to see Beyond the Fringe, and Alistair was just wonderful in it. He's a most talented actor. And performance was over, and we went backstage and knocked on the door of his dressing room. And a voice said, "Come in," as actors always do. And I opened the door, and he looked, and he just couldn't get the words out. He kept on saying, "Vivi, Vivi, Vivi," you know. And then two of us threw our arms around each other. I think when someone goes to California and surprises someone, or a person goes from New York to London and surprises someone, or Paris or Rome, it's surprising, but I don't think it's as surprising.
Yes, because those are places that one goes.
As coming to...
But one earth goes to Australia.
To Sydney. And, you know, he was just flabbergasted. And we saw quite a bit of Alistair and his wife while we were there. And Sydney is a most charming, lovely, beautiful city. I think Americans would love it, except that the pace is a little slower, which is very nice.
Well, that's true, just about any place in the
world. But it's such a nice city. And the people are so friendly and warm, and it's most interesting.
You know, we nearly had a guest on today's program. Unfortunately, she couldn't make it. Nora Drake.
Yes. I'm sure you can meet her another time.
Mary Jane Higdon.
Mm-hmm.
What is she doing today?
She's writing a book all about the old days of radio. But she has a marvelous sense of humor, and although I haven't read the book, I have a feeling that it's going to be a book of many humorous things that happen.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. I think anybody who listens to this series would love to read that. Written by Nora Drake. No,
yes, yes.
Well, now tell me, how was it all evolved in the last broadcast, the story?
I remember we finished the actual plot of that particular episode. I can't remember what it was. And we were going on a vacation. Henry and I were going on a vacation to England.
Well deserved.
Oh, it was a very sad day.
Oh, really?
I really felt terrible.
Oh, I'm sure. No, but I mean, in the plot, I was well deserved.
Oh, yes. Oh, there had been.
Years.
Oh, I'm sure it was pretty terrible and all, but. And off we went on the vacation.
I imagine the atmosphere must have been very sad in the studio.
Well, I felt very badly because it was something I had done for all these years. And suddenly it wasn't going to be there anymore. However, my life... I was married about 2 or 3 weeks before the show went off the air. So my life was so different then, after the show went off the air, that I in all honesty,
it was easier
didn't
to
miss
adjust.
It. No, yes, because there were so many changes anyway.
Your husband's name isn't Henry, by any chance.
No, Harold Klein.
Well, now, one final question. Was it possible for that little girl from the mining town of Silver Creek, Colorado, to find happiness with England's richest and most handsome lord?
No.
Every day.
She didn't.
She
because
did.
If she ever had found happiness, I think that would have been the end of the show.
I don't think people would have listened. You're right.
Right. And I think, though, basically, if you really want to think about it, that she was happy, but all these problems came up. You see, the problems that came up weren't always difficulties between Henry and herself. They were, you know, other things that happened. Buildings burning down. We had children, I remember, and they put them... We used to say, where are the children? The children must be up in the blue room or in the green room. And they were sort of kept there for years at a time. You never heard a mention of the children. And then suddenly an episode would come up about them. But that's how it was.
The curiosity of all the people we've satisfied by answering that question. Because they asked it every day for years and years on network radio.
No.
Well, you answered a lot of other questions, and it's been a great pleasure talking to you, Miss Vivian Smolin, our gal Sunday.
By way of contrast, let's listen now to the late silent screen star Rudolph Valentino singing the Kashmiri love song. Was recorded May 14th, 1923, the Kashmiri love song by the late silent star Rudolph Valentino.